liberation, of which Suyuja, or merging into the impersonal Brahman, was definitely not acceptable. And the other four, Salokya, Sarukya, Sarukya, and Sasti, are acceptable by devotees, but still they don't desire it. They only desire to directly serve the Lord. But in desiring to directly serve the Lord, it's understood that those liberations are automatic anyway. They don't desire them separately, though. You know, to serve the Supreme Lord, you'd have to be in the proximity of the Lord. Salokya. So wherever the Lord is, they just want to serve the Lord. But they're not saying, you know, I want to go to this particular Vaikunthapanda or this particular place. Just where the Lord is, let me be there and serve him. So salvation is automatically there, that sort of desire. In describing that devotees don't accept bhakti or mukti, they have no desires for that, even if they're offered, it shows the superiority of bhakti, pure devotional service, but it also points out to the beginning devotees that one, have faith in devotional service, it is the most superior thing, there is nothing superior to it, so have faith in it, and two, in order to make progress in pure devotional service, you really need to avoid cultivating these desires, material desires, or desires for liberation. and that therefore they were described as witches. So, there's the impetus, take the pure devotional service, it's far beyond bhakti and mukti. And if you have any, you know, if you're influenced by those witches of desires of mukti within the heart, be very careful of them because they will actually not allow you to progress in pure devotional service. And of course, of mukti, the most completely unacceptable is the huge mukti of merging into the effulgence of the Lord, because one loses one's individuality and loses the opportunity for hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, because one's senses are dormant, and of course one's devoid of the association of the personal form of the Lord as well. And we also discussed on that point that one has to go beyond bhakti or desires of material enjoyment, because that keeps one on the material platform of ignorance, whereby one has cannot understand transcendental subject matters, and one also coming to the point of liberation or freedom from the bodily concept of life, one has to go beyond that and take up devotional service. One can't just stop at that point, so one has to be beyond mukti. Without going beyond the point of mukti, one cannot know the glories of the Lord and take up devotional service. And then there are various different fruits offered by Rupa Goswami from the Srimad Bhagavatam, such as Bharat and various verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam and other different scriptures. devotees of the Lord, they are very much attracted to serving the Lord in a particular relationship, and they, therefore, they won't accept anything else outside of that service. That's the main purpose. They're very, very happy serving the Lord in a particular way, and they just don't want to look at anything else that will interfere with that or is outside of that scope. They're just so happy. So that, therefore, the happiness of devotional service, serving the Lord in a particular way, is the highest form of happiness, and that is proved that they reject everything else. And of those devotees who fix in devotional service, some in the material world and some actually in Vaikuntha Loka, those devotees who are devotees of Krishna are actually considered to be experienced the highest transcendental bliss. So much so that sometimes those who are situated in a relationship with the Lord, in his feature as Narayan, or even at Krishna's feature in Dwarka and Jagannath, sometimes devotees actually aspire that they would like that nectar of serving Krishna, because the happiness, the rasa, the transcendental bliss from that is considered the highest. So therefore, although it wasn't discussed at length, but there are many quotes in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lakshmi prays that she can be embraced, by the chest and the arms of Krishna, just as the gopis are being embraced. And, and even the queens of Dwarka, in many, many different prayers, they pray, that they meditate upon the good fortune of the gopis, how they're experiencing a transcendental nectar which is superior. So, in this way, describing that the devotees of Krishna are the highest. So, that's a summary of the fourth chapter. Any questions on that before we go on? So then, today, in chapter 5, is describing the purity of devotional service. The purity of devotional service in the sense that it is transcendental to all material considerations. It is the natural birthright of every living entity, because every living entity is actually a spirit soul who has an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, bhakti has nothing to do with any material considerations, time, place, or circumstance, or candidate. In that way, it is pure, being transcendental. And in this chapter, Rupa Goswami will cite various different shastric evidences, indicating how especially the main consideration, how bhakti does not depend upon one's birth. In other words, one doesn't have to be qualified by a particular birth one does not have to be qualified by atonement for one's previous sinful or impure activities, and then one does not have to be qualified by a certain situation within the Varna Sram system, either as a Kama Yogi or a Jnana Yogi. So this is, by stating all these things, he's pointing out the purity of devotional service does not depend upon anything else, and yet, actually to be successful in the Varna Sram, Kanda, Jnana Yoga, Kama Yoga, any of these, Sangha Yoga, one, all those things depend on bhakti, but bhakti does not depend on any other process. It is independent. Goswami has established the qualification for beginning devotional service, for taking up Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and for taking up Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in pure devotional service. He's established three different criteria, and here he's continuing to help us understand that there is no other criteria. Those criteria are sufficient because bhakti is completely pure and transcendental to all other considerations. That can't be said about any other process. If someone takes up, for instance, someone can't take up the path of Jnana Yoga, the path of meditating upon the difference between matter and spirit and becoming a little detached from the world without the qualifications. There must be qualifications. One has to have actually become perfect in Kama Yoga, which gradually brings about knowledge and detachment and control of the senses. One has to be somewhat intellectual. One has to be somewhat detached. Without those qualifications, if someone takes the path of Jnana Yoga, they will not be successful. In fact, they will be condemned for having taken up a process which is not according to their qualification. Similarly, if one takes up the path of Kama Yoga, performing fruitive activities, material activities that are pious and gradually elevate one to the heavenly planets and what have you. The qualifications are that for all the particular rituals and ceremonies, one has to be, they have to be performed by someone who is, suci, clean, all the mantras have to be chanted perfectly, all the ingredients have to be supplied perfectly, the particular ceremonies and everything have to be performed at particular times and particular places, certain candidates are eligible to participate, others are not. There are so many rules and regulations, so many qualifications, otherwise it can't be done. There's no success. For a Sangha Yoga, one without being on the platform of sannyas, is really not possible. As we've seen in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the basic principles of taking up the Sangha Yoga is complete celibacy. So, for all these different things, but all of those different qualifications, including birth, which is part of that, so for instance, to become a sannyasi in the Sangha Yoga, one would first have to take birth in a Brahmin family, otherwise one cannot take sannyasi. So all these different things, and similarly within Varnasram, Jnana Yoga, birth is very important. So, and you know, whether the persons have performed the previous purificatory processes that lead to that particular path. In Bhakti Yoga, none of that is necessary. Thereby, again, Vivek Goswami confirming that the qualifications he has stated is sufficient. What are those qualifications? What is the qualification for as described in the previous chapters leading up to chapter 4, what are the qualifications for taking up devotional service? Faith. And where does that come from?
Devotion.
Devotees.
Scriptures.
Vyasa. Or Vyasa. Willing or unwilling devotional service performed somewhere in a previous life by the mercy of a devotee or sometimes the Lord himself. They usually act together. That's the qualification for beginning devotional service. And we understood that there were three different levels of devotees who had three different levels of this shraddha. Right? What were they? Majjhima. They're the most qualified we discuss, you know, the very firm faith of the Uttama Adhikari. Unmovable faith. The firm faith of the Majjhima Adhikari and the sort of pliable faith of the Kanishtha, but all have faith, all have shraddha. And in order to take up the process of devotion, Vaidhisadhana Bhakti, faith in Shastra is their qualification for advancement. In Vaidhisattva Bhakti, nishas were divided into four categories, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, 7:16. And we had, what were they? Those desiring wealth, inquisitive, amongst those, we describe that, you know, they all have some faith, but it was really the wise amongst those Kanishthas that had the faith, you know, in Shastra sufficient enough to take the Vaidhisattva Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti, that they can take to the process of pure devotional service, beginning from Vaidhisattva Bhakti. Others, initially, they would take to, you know, Misra, mixed devotional service. And by and large, they remain on the material platform. So the wise actually comes to the transcendental platform by being eligible to take up Vaidhisattva Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti. They actually come to the transcendental platform from the very beginning. The other three, by and large, stay on the material platform. Prakriti Bhakti. But, by association, devotees, they can all come to the, it describes it in 7:19, it describes that over many, many lifetimes, the other three will also come to the point of being wise, and they will also surrender to the Lord. And generally that happens through the association of devotees over lifetimes, their shraddha develops, they come to the point of wise, they can also take to Vaidhisattva Bhakti. So then, of these three, they're practicing Vaidhisattva Bhakti, and then, so we've got two qualifications, Shraddha, the faith to begin, to follow Vaidhisattva Bhakti, they must have, it depends on their faith in Shastra, their faith and knowledge in Shastra. Alright? They must understand and have faith, and to the degree that understanding and faith is there, they will become more and more qualified on the path of Vaidhisattva Bhakti, and the qualification to practice Vaidhisattva Bhakti in pure devotional service was to be liberated from bodily platform. And to be free from desires for bhukti and mukti. Go on.
They
are eligible to engage in Vaidhi Sadhana. Yes. Yes.
And then
you're eligible to take up the path of pure devotional service.
Pure devotional service.
Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we're talking about pure devotional, is the path of pure devotional service. So they can begin the path of pure devotional service in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti.
So they are they already at the platform where they think about this body and the soul?
Yep. That's the wise. The wise have that, you know, understanding. They may not be, you know, very, very knowledgeable about Shastra, and they may not, you know, accept the full authority of Shastra, but they have that understanding. I am a spirit, and I am not the body. There is also a supreme spirit, and, you know, the small spirit to the supreme spirit, I have the duty to develop that relationship and to serve him. That, you know, it is there within their heart, or, you know, as soon as they hear someone say that, they can just immediately understand, yes, of course, you know, it's not difficult for them. So they may just, again, hear it in a devotee, they may read it in the book, and then they immediately accept, oh yes, that's right, because it's from a previous life cultivating that understanding. So that is the platform where they begin. But they may not have, you know, they may or may not have any real Shastric reference for that. And, you know, they may or may not even, you know, like to accept Shastra as the reference for knowledge. And yet the understanding may be there. You know, Socrates was actually in the category of the wise, and he was nothing about Vedic. Socrates as a symbol of a wise person who understood his spiritual nature. You know, they wanted to kill him, and of course at the end he said, well, first you'll have to catch me. Although, you know, I believe he was imprisoned at that stage, so they captured his body. He understood, well, you haven't captured my soul, how are you going to capture that? So he also used to, I've read that, you know, in a they would force him to go out into battle or what have you, and then he would just stop and just meditate on his own, you know, existence and on the nature of the absolute. He didn't have a lot of knowledge, but he understood it was there. And you know, the battle would just rage around him, and he would just stand there meditating on his own spiritual nature. But as far as having knowledge or firm faith in Shastra that he deals with that, he really didn't have it. But he was still, he was eligible. The one thing he didn't have was association with Lodi. Had he had that, he could have taken up 47 months. So there are three different qualifications there which Rupa Goswami has mentioned, rather, to begin. Faith and knowledge in Shastra, according to how much we have that, we can progress and make, you know, rapid progress. So, for instance, the Uttama, you know, one who is very firm faith and very knowledgeable in Shastra, on the path of Vaidhisattva Bhakti, they can make rapid progress. That's the point. Therefore, you see that, you know, devotees who take seriously the study of Shastra and its practical application, they advance, you know, that they get a very good qualification to advance as devotee and to become a first class devotee very quickly, much more quickly. And by being this one here, they're off the bodily platform and they're not cultivating desires for material enjoyment or liberation. It's described they're not overly disgusted with material existence. And they're not overly attached. That's if if one is overly attached to material existence, they will tend to fall into the categories here of the distressed, the wealthy, and the inquisitive. You know, these are the qualifications of the wise, that they're liberated, you know, that they understand that not the body, they're not overly attached to the body, but they're not overly repulsed by bodily activities or activities in the material world, because you know all of the activities in bhakti are done with the senses, the body, the mind, the senses, the words. Someone who's overly repulsed by using the body and what have you, then will find many of the activities in devotional service very difficult. Peace and stand to develop relationships for someone who's really wants to reject everything on that platform activities, it becomes very alien for them. Just to do simple things like bowing down, you know, they have. I remember there was. There was one chap who used to come, and he was a visitor to the temple, he would sometimes eat prasadam. So when we'd all pay our obeisance after seeing Sarirata do the job, he'd bang his head on the ground, And he'd really hurt himself and he'd make a noise, and I'd say to him, you don't have to do that. But I could never convince him. I mean, I saw him over many, many months, I don't know where he is now. But every time we offered his obeisance, because he was, to him, enjoyment was a horrible thing. So, let's reject any form of enjoyment, and somehow if we're suffering or undergoing some austerity, then, So, just a simple thing like offering obeisances, sitting and taking the shower. So, the overly attached or overly detached is what we're talking about here, not that someone is completely free from any material desires, but just that position allows them to take up devotional service, pure devotional service. But a devotee, so therefore, this position is different to pursuing liberation. Again, you see, being, generally off the bodily platform, just not particularly attached to material existence, but not being overly, attached to rejecting everything in the material world, is different from someone who has a strong desire to achieve liberation, especially particularly in personal liberation. So one has to have that without it becoming the search for mukti. And therefore, Rupa Goswami very, very strongly described that in the fourth chapter. So having described sums up this chapter. It says, at the very beginning, he says, all the previous instructions imparted by Rupa Goswami in his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami states devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society or circumstance. So again, summarising here, Rupa Goswami says these are the qualifications. Having established that, he then describes in his chapter that which may be qualification for any other path is not considered in bhakti because it's completely pure. That's the point. Bhakti, there's Mudra, and then there's Sudra, and Mudra is mixed, Sudra is pure. Sudra can also be called Uttama. Bhaktis would also practice bodhisattva in the sense that they're practicing sadhana. Sadhana means a practice, regular principles. Those desiring wealth, they may regularly go to the church, the temple, as a regular principle, offer prayers. But because they have some particular motivation due to being influenced predominantly by the material modes of nature, then they're mixed with those. So then the devotees whose activities are predominantly bhakti, then they take up vaidhisattva bhakti as on the path of sudra bhakti or nidra bhakti. Devotional service, there is thank you. Mishra Bhaktas would follow this Guni Bhuta Bhakti, which means that the bhakti component of their activities is subsidiary to the material component. There's a predominant material component and a subsidiary bhakti component. The Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktis, they have a predominance of bhakti and the material part is subsidiary. And they follow this Sudha or Uttama Bhakti. And then the Kevala Bhaktas, they're also following Sudha Bhakti, but you know, they don't have it. The material part is non-existent. See? So both these two, one with a predominance of bhakti and some subsidiary material activities, they follow Sudha Bhakti. And those who only have bhakti and no material activities, they also follow Sudha Bhakti. But those whose bhakti is subsidiary and the predominant part is material activities follow Mishra Bhakti. So on the path of Mishra Bhakti and Sudha Bhakti, they both follow Vaidhi, which means that they Vaidhi, of course, means that they're following the regulative principles, being inspired or forced by scriptural injunction or the order of the Guru. That's Vaidhi. It's not spontaneous, it's not raga. So then, when the bees come in, the Kanishtha, the Majjhima and the Uttama, that on this path of let's say the path of Mishra, then you have the Kanishtha Bhaktas, all four can actually be on that path of Mishra Bhakti. That's the difference. One, you know, wanting to relinquish their distress, one desiring wealth, the inquisitive and the wise, without sufficient association with devotees, they can all, you know, even a person who is considered wise, they can, like Socrates, just remain on that platform and not actually take to Sudha Bhakti. But with association with devotees, the wise is most qualified to take up Sudha Bhakti. With association, actually, all of them can take it up. But the wise one is more securely situated as a beginning devotee, and his advancement is more rapid. And the others, the distressed, the desirous of wealth and inquisitive, even if they take up Sudha Bhakti due to the association with devotees, if they don't come to the platform of knowledge and faith and Shastra as a wise person, they can fulfill their desires and go away. So they're not very securely situated. Here we're talking about people who have some faith in the Lord as a result of piety generated from bhakti, willingly or unwillingly performed. They all have that credit. allows them to be in this category where they can take the devotion of service to some degree. But by the association of a devotee, even a sinful person without that qualification can immediately take the path of Supa. Kevala Bhakti means that it is just pure devotional service without even a subsidiary or secondary engagement in materialistic activities.
Kevala means only in English, or only Bhakti.
Yeah, it means completely free from the desires of Bhakti and Mukti.
For example,
so the Pradhani Bhuta Bhakta will be ridding their heart from the desires of bhakti and mukti, and the Kevala Bhakti is, you know, free from those desires.
So that's, but that is still not
Ravana Bhakti? No. So far, all this is, we're still talking about Vaidhi Dhamma Bhakti. So, as described, these four conditions, three of them may generally take to this bhakti. And even the wise may take to that, but the wise amongst them is more qualified to actually take to this bhakti, pure devotion of service, or ultimate bhakti. And if they all take to it, the wise is most securely situated. So they're kanishtas on the path of pure devotional service. They're all considered, those who take the Sutta Bhakti, even as a kanishta, they're considered to be transcendental devotees. Bhaktivinoda Kaur describes the two types of devotees, ordinary and transcendental. Those who take the Sutta Bhakti, kanishtama and ultima, they're all pure devotees. Also, quite I read, I was looking at the other day, Prabhupada also. The Kanishtha is like a green mango, and the Uttama Bhakti is like the ripe mango. So, the ordinary devotees are those who have taken birth in the family of devotees, Vaishnava line, but don't strictly follow anything. They may have taken birth in the family of Brahmins who worship Vishnu or Ram, but they don't strictly follow anything. There's three categories of them, but the underlying theme, then you get those who actually wear the attire of the bodies but don't strictly follow. There are three categories. Ordinary devotees. The main point is that they actually don't follow strictly by Sadhana Bhakti, even though they're somehow associated or related to devotional service. They're ordinary. Whereas the Sutta Bhaktas, even though they are beginning, their determination is that I'm on this path and I'm going to take this path seriously and become a mature and advanced devotee, develop my relationship with the Supreme Lord and go back to Godhead. And they follow what they're supposed to be following for kanishtha and like that. They're prepared to follow what needs to be followed. They're transcendental. Sutta Bhaktas are transcendental. On the path, the Sutta Bhaktas are transcendental, even though they may be kanishtha, most of them are ultimate. generally, therefore, the others, you know, they're mitra bhaktas, which means that their, you know, their devotional service is, they don't strictly follow. Their predominant activity is material activities, and there may be some subsidiary, you know, bhakti. That's the platform of guna guna bhakti. You know, whereas these even the kanishthas on the path of Suda are really more the pradhani guna bhaktas. And as they become very mature, they become capable of others. I'm not sure the exact Sanskrit word, but you know, guni meaning that the gunas are affected by the material mode of nature. Pradhani, I'm not sure. Uttama Bhakti Bhakta, they begin to be Uttama within Vaidhisattva Bhakti.
According to the, because the criteria here is faith in Shastra and knowledge.
Yeah,
okay. According to that, yeah.
That means, for instance, yes, so faith and knowledge in Shastra. Therefore, because they are very knowledgeable and argue, you know, with opposing arguments based on Shastra, they can't be convinced otherwise, they're very, very expert, very logical, very reasonable, and firm faith, and they know exactly what they should do and how to engage others in devotional service, very decisive. Therefore, they practice Vaidhisattva Bhakti perfectly. And practicing it perfectly, they are first class devotees. And of course, those Uttama Bhaktas. Then they can take, you know, become perfect, they're eligible to, you know, enter into Dharma Bhakti and play the Dharma Bhakti. So, you know, in one sense, the devotees who actually follow, you know, who actually take shelter of this one properly, take shelter of, you know, Srila Prabhupada's instructions. In a general sense, they're all pure devotees. Because they're all on the path of pure devotional service. ISKCON is not teaching to have bhakti as a subsidiary activity and predominantly just go on into your life. ISKCON is teaching bhakti should become the sole activity. And at least in the beginning, it should be the predominant activity. Material activity should be reduced. Therefore, all devotees in ISKCON who actually take themselves ISKCON properly can be generally called pure devotees because they're on the path of pure devotional service, whether they're Kanishtha, Madhva, Uttama. It means they're following the path of pure devotional service. And amongst those devotees who are all considered pure devotees in the sense that they're either neophyte pure devotees or very, very neophyte or very advanced. You have those different levels of neophyte, mature, and perfect pure devotees. Sadhana Bhakti, as one matures with generally from this Majjhima platform, one may be able to enter into the practice raga. Following in the footsteps of Krishna's associates in Vrindavan, the devotees don't perform devotional service simply being inspired or, you know, forced by the word of the Guru, by, you know, injunction of the Vedas, but because they have a very, very powerful desire to, you know, serve Krishna. The qualities of devotional service and the sweetness of devotional service is considered to be a lot thicker and a lot sweeter on that platform of raga or raga bhakti than what it is. So, an uttama bhakta on the platform of vai sadhana bhakti, the sweetness, the intensity of his devotional service is not to the same degree, the lesser degree, than an uttama bhakti who's practicing sadhana bhakti on the raga platform. There's a special nectar and special intensity. If the devotee is takes to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and they take it in a pure devotional service to the bhakti, and due to the association of devotees they've taken to it, and they may have come from either of these four categories of conditions: distress, wealthy, inquisitive, wise. When their devotional service, when their activities are predominantly devotional service, should they die and at the time of death be engaged in devotional service and have some desire and understanding that they want to go back to the Supreme Lord and spiritual world, they can actually attain Vaikuntha even on that platform. And generally the least intense of the particular rasas, like sattva ras, so they maintain one of the five different types of liberation, generally, attain the same planet as the Lord. In Vaikuntha, everything, of course, is spiritual, everything is conscious, and there are unlimited, so many different trees and bushes, and everything is conscious. So the devotee can attain that situation. It's sort of a, they've been promoted to the spiritual world. The level of their intense desire to serve the Lord and purification,
stay in Vaikuntha.
Then
then they have no possibility to go beyond it. It's hard to offer services, I think.
Yeah, I see. Hard to offer services to trade.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's easier if you're a person in Vaikuntha. I'm just trying to understand it.
Well, they're not like the trees they're fully conscious.
Yeah.
So, for instance, it's like sometimes you have a huge kirtan temple there, and you have some devotees who get in and dance and run around and go crazy, and others will stand up against the wall and just watch. They all enjoy it to some degree or another. They all enjoy that kirtan. It is a big, big festival. Those who come off this, they're following Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and they come to the position of the wise, again, they will attain Santaras. Vaikuntha Loka, or even in this world, such as the four Kumaras, they can sort of travel around the world being completely liberated and an appreciation of the Lord, but not completely active in His service. One really has to get off that conditional platform. Develop a strong and intense desire to serve the Lord. Then one, again, on the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, even if they become a victim of Bhakti, they will still only get to Vaikuntha. To get to Krishna Loka, they have to at some stage take up committed raga bhakti. On the platform of sadhana bhakti, sadhana has to be influenced by raga, spontaneous desire to serve the Lord. Then, of course, those devotees are eligible for the higher classes, from servitorship, friendship, and what have you. And even on that platform of raga bhakti, they actually have to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, particularly in order to attain Krishna like that. Generally, they don't, but it is possible. Chapters 2 up until 14, we discuss sadhana bhakti. And why the sadhana bhakti, and then chapters 15 and 16 discuss raganuga sadhana bhakti. So, on Sunday, we start chapter 6, where Rupa Goswami begins to explain what are the 64 principal activities of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Those 64 items, and then over the chapters up to chapter 14, it just discusses in a little bit more detail. So this is the last chapter, sort of just summarising the characteristics of pure devotional service and the eligibility to practice devotional service. Then we actually get into how to discharge devotional service. That is the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Keep in mind that we follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti being influenced by Shastra. Therefore, our faith and knowledge in Shastra is the qualification for advancement. Because Shastra is the impetus that's pushing us forward. The more we have faith and knowledge of that Shastra, the more qualified we are to practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. The strata, they can begin and they can be in any of those four categories. And on the Sutta, those who associate with the Sutta Bhaktis from any of those four categories mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, they can take the Sutta Bhakti, and of them, the wise is most solidly situated on the path, is the most qualified. And then, on the path of, you know, Vaidhi, Sadhana, Sutta Bhakti, one can practice that with pure devotion and service if one is basically free from the body platform of life and becomes free from bhakti. That qualifies one to be, practice the devotional service very, very purely. So there's the three qualifications.
So for the pure devotional service.
Yes, that you know, so so there are actually, as you see here, for the Kanishthas, the Madhyama, and the Uttama, on the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, you would really say that there are two qualifications. One is the faith and knowledge in Shastra, and the other is these qualities here, which give purity. One may have, if one has faith and knowledge in Shastra, but doesn't practice, but while practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, they don't develop these qualifications, then their devotional service doesn't become pure, and not becoming pure, it means even though they have one qualification, they're still not advancing from Kanishtha to Madhyama to Uttama very quickly. Those two really go hand in hand. And the same. One may have these qualities of being somewhat liberated from the bodily platform, becoming free from bhakti and mukti, but their faith in sattva and knowledge not very developed. And again, it inhibits their progress. It gives them a disqualification. When both are there, they become very qualified to advance in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and towards pure devotional service.
Alright.